Greetings, magnificent souls, to the Lily
Beulie podcast, where we have open and honest discussions about ourselves. This is your host, Lily Beulie, and I'm honored to have conversations here with thought leaders, visionaries, healers, and even solo conversations with myself about things I am currently reflecting on. This is a place where we break down, break away, and break through our emotional trauma, allowing ourselves to be healthy, be happy, and live a peaceful life. We are tired of being sick and tired. We are tired, but we are not giving up. We know that there is something magnificent inside of us because we are fighting daily, hourly, and by the minute, fighting ourselves, our jobs, our unhappiness. We have to do things differently. We have to break the cycle. We don't have a million chances. We have to be happy now. We have to find a way. So how do we do that? How is that possible? If you look around at what society is telling you, they tell you that what we're doing is impossible. Yet it's happening every single day. And it's happening through the practice and the love that we call awakening the magnificent soul. We are all magnificent souls. And these are our stories of healing. Today in episode 161, I welcome Dr. Myesha Claiborne to the show to chat about trauma responses and communication. Before we get into the show, don't forget to let me know your thoughts about this episode or anything you would like me to cover on future podcasts by dropping me a DM on Instagram. Remember, it is a safe place and I would welcome the discussion. And also a request, if you are enjoying the show, please rate and share and review. This helps get the word out to more and more souls who want to heal. And now on to today's episode. Dr. Myesha Claiborne is an integrative medicine physician, internationally known speaker, author, and master hypnotherapist, and teacher of NLP and hypnosis. With over 20 years of experience, she helps people transform their lives by helping them master their mindset and communication, eliminating fear, self-doubt, and negative emotions that get in the way of their happiness, freedom, and peace of mind. Please enjoy this conversation with Dr. Myesha. All right, Dr. Myesha, welcome to the show. I'm super excited to find out more about you and drop in with you in this space. We were chatting a little bit before we came on, and I know this is going to be an amazing episode, and thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I am so excited to be here and looking forward to this conversation.
Yes, absolutely. So Dr. Myesha, you work with trauma, right? You work with understanding the nature of trauma. Mm-hmm. I always like to kind of get a little bit of an idea about how you got here. I feel like us people that work with trauma, we've kind of been through it. We've been through the fire. Right. A lot of us have gone to the deepest depths of ourselves, mm-hmm. And done the healing within ourselves and then kind of come out the other side. And for me, it's like, I can't unsee what I see and I can't unknow what I know. And so I can't never go back. Mm-hmm. So why are you here? Why are you helping people here to heal trauma?
Well, I'll start by saying yes to all the things in terms of having experienced, mm-hmm. but what I'll share with you is that I did not, despite having an undergraduate degree in psychology, I did not actually get that I was impacted by trauma until I was in my 30s, my mid 30s. Mm. And I am now in my late 40s. So it's like very recently that I actually even the context of being a trauma survivor was like a personal application or personal context for me. So that I'll start by that. But as I think about my life and when I look back, I was a child witness to domestic abuse. Mm. And, you know, as we know that hurt people, mm-hmm. most times unintentionally so. So, you know, after my mom fortunately, you know, left her abuser, you know, there's a lot of tension in the house. There was a lot of toxicity in the house. And I grew up functionally depressed. Mm. And so like entering into college, Initially, knowing that I was pre-med, initially a chemistry major, but then finding psychology and being like, oh, why do people do what they do? This is what interests me. Like the underlying, the root cause. And I have always been interested in the root cause and understanding patterns and why people repeat patterns. So like for me in relationships, why did I continue to attract emotionally distant or abusive, like one or the other kind of people into my life? Why did I marry an alcoholic? You know, well, turns out my mom married an alcoholic, my grandmother was an alcoholic. So, like in the journey to understanding trauma, I really had to look at my own patterns. And I think unconsciously or subconsciously, I was interested in psychology and the root cause and healing the mind and body because of what I went through. And when I connected to this word trauma, which is a whole, as you know, is a whole thing, it really gave me language for what I had been experiencing and hadn't realized.
Yeah, and that's a whole awakening. I remember, in my journey, I'm sure with you, my family, there wasn't, I didn't even know that there were even books about this. I didn't know that there was even this whole idea of codependency, for example, which is where I first started kind of in my journey. And like I said, for me, I'm the same way. It's like I can't unsee what I see. I can't unknow what I know. And so that's kind of, I feel like that happens, especially these days a lot, with Instagram, and all the different social medias. So let's put some roots in the ground, kind of where we are. And thank you for sharing that story. Trauma to you. What is it to you? Because it is a big, it is kind of a big, there's a big scope. And I feel like even though that there are standard definitions, what I love about talking about kind of what it means to you is that I love to help other people hear kind of different lenses into trauma. Like I'm sure, it's informed by how you experienced or what you know and what you've studied. So I'm curious, like I said, let's put some roots in the ground about kind of where we are. What is trauma to you? How would you define it?
Well, so I'll start with, it's interesting because as you ask the question the way you asked it, what is it to me? Different layers of answers have come up, which I love. I love the way you asked that question, by the way, and I'm a words
Thank
person.
you.
I think when I think about what it is to me and what even as I've studied it, it's the way the body responds to certain events. All right. So very stressful events. It's the way the body continues to hold negative emotion, and negative looping thought processes. And so it's our body's response to either one big intensity or multiple ongoing intensities. And it's interesting because coming up or matriculating through as a physician, where a lot of what we do is up here in our head, I got very disconnected from my body. And so most people think, and I thought trauma was something that happened in the mind, and trauma was the event itself, like it was the thing. And as I studied more and became more connected with my body, I could actually feel as I went through my healing journey, or feel when something would happen that would activate something from the past for me, and recognize like, oh yeah, it really is the body's response.
That's so true. And there's such a big difference. And listen, whoever's listening, slow down and listen. There's such a big difference. And I'm sure you agree based off what you just said, knowing about trauma and healing your trauma are two completely different things. And I don't know about you, Dr. Maisha, but the people that I work with, that is what I see the most. We've gotten to this point, a lot of us, at least whoever's listening here, because I know, my audience, I think for the most part, is we're smart enough to kind of know and read and listen to the podcasts and connect, what happened to us with what's happening with us. But the difference is like the way that you define trauma and you look at trauma is it's in the body. And we're so used to living in our heads. And there's such a big difference between knowing your trauma and then healing your trauma. Is that kind of what you see, or the kind of people that you work with too?
Yeah. You know, I think that one of the things that I see that is, or that I notice, is that people don't recognize the universality of trauma. You know, people think, oh, if they haven't experienced some big thing, then they haven't experienced trauma. And 100% of people, I believe, have experienced trauma. I mean, you look at the pandemic, you look at what's happening now, you know, over Israel-Palestine. You look at in the past, the Twin Towers. I mean, like, there's, if you are alive for any length of time, you have either vicariously, directly or indirectly experienced some event that would activate the trauma response in the body and in the mind. And so I the other thing is, there's this sense of safety that is robbed when one is experiencing trauma. Like it's either emotional safety, psychological, mental safety, or physical safety. And that's one of the things that I also got that I didn't get before. It's like, you know, when when the hairs on your arms stand up, you know, or however, whatever that occurs to you. And I don't think that people get that that's a universal experience.
Ooh, we could go a whole nother direction about that. I agree. You know, the way that I've experienced, you know, I call it consciousness, like bigger, like larger consciousness, and you know, universality is another way to put it as well. And, you know, those, you know, I always call like getting goosebumps, you know, God's talking to me, or like if I'm in a session, or if I have like a really meaningful connection or experience or something, I do feel that. And now I realize that it takes a long time, I feel like, to get there on your healing journey. But now I realize that it's actually, you know, like something's resonating, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's a resonance in the collective conscious, or with God, or, you know, or what have you. But we could go a whole nother podcast on that, girl. Gosh. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, and if we're in our heads all the time, we don't have the ability to like to access those larger things. You know, like I can tell you, like, kind of at the block point, or one of my block points in my journey, like I knew that there was something bigger and something, you know, larger that I was meant to do, but I couldn't, you know, I just couldn't get there. And I feel like a lot of people are feeling that these days.
Absolutely.
How do you know if you have unprocessed trauma?
That's an interesting question. I think that when you are interacting with people, or when you're going along in your life and you notice that either you are frequently upset, whatever that might look like, upset beyond what you think you should be upset. If you are noticing some stuck negative emotion, like some stuck anger, like you find that you're angry all the time, or you find that you're, I like to say, popping off, you know, a lot.
Yeah.
You might consider that those reactions or responses could be as a result of unprocessed trauma. Conversely, if you find yourself isolated, if you find that you have this sort of chronic anxiety, if you find yourself avoiding a lot, if you, especially like conflict, you might, you know, consider that there's some unprocessed trauma. I think that everyone should consider that they probably have unprocessed trauma. And in my line of work, you know, when I, as far as the neurolinguistic programming, we say the unconscious mind has the right to protect and preserve. And so in doing that, it will repress. So there's no, it's an interesting thing. I say there's no need to necessarily go digging if you're not ready. If you're not ready, if you're ready and things are not working, then it's an opportunity for you to look. And I think I'm saying that because I say, you know, I think that everybody probably has some unprocessed trauma, but that doesn't necessarily mean we need to all go digging and digging and digging for unprocessed trauma. Excuse me. What it means is that lost my train of thought.
It's okay. We were talking about unprocessed trauma, and what you were talking about, what it means. Actually, I have a question. If whatever comes
Please.
up to you,
Yeah,
just feel free.
please, please.
What are the biggest, like, misconceptions or myths that you see personally or in your work about trauma? Like, yeah, I'll leave it there.
I think that in my specifically in my work, I think the that people believe that they have to relive their trauma in order to heal it.
True.
That's the biggest myth
True.
and also the biggest barrier to people reaching out for help and for healing is because they are afraid of the unknown. They're afraid of what if I get in there and I just like completely break down and decompensate and I don't have time for that. So that's the other thing is that healing trauma is will incapacitate you. Like doing this healing work will incapacitate. That's the other thing I see people thinking. And that's just not true. Especially if you do the work in a way with someone. And this is why it's important to do this kind of work with someone, because they have the skills to listen and guide and help you to re regulate in those times where you do feel that pain and need to emote. And I think that's normal. We need to normalize the emotional catharsis and the emotional detoxification. But I think that people thinking that the two biggest fears is that it'll incapacitate them, and who has time for that? And I'm guilty. Like when I first started, I was like, I don't have time to be feeling stuff. I got a kid, I got a whole business and a half, I got stuff to do, right? But it's not the truth.
That's a good one. That's a good one, because it's like you said, the unconscious protects us, right? And that I know that part. I have friends and family that know those parts of themselves, and they think that part thinks that it's just going to go in there and just have this hurt and pain and fear all over again. So what is it instead? If it's not going in there and having this experience again, what is it instead to you and your
Well,
work?
in my particular work, because I do know that there are some techniques where people do that, people are desensitized. But in my work, what we like to do, what I like to do is I like to take people on a journey that allows them to see different perspectives. And yes, we go to the root, but not inside of the actual event itself.
Got
So
it.
I do a process, and I'm just going to talk about the process because it's
Yeah,
easier,
totally.
called timeline therapy, which is inside of the work that I do with neuro-linguistic programming. And what that does is it allows a person to be dissociated, sort of outside of themselves, while observing the events of the past, to be able to get a different perspective and download new learnings, download things and for some people they call it God messages. For some people they just call it, their deeper self-revealing things that allow them to release the negative emotion from their body, release the negative loops of thoughts that are going on in their mind, and allow them to see the rest of their life differently. Because largely something happens and that thing impacts our body, and then it perturbates our view, right? So then our view is a certain way, and we go about life collecting evidence for this new view. And so what we do is we release that old view, so that they now see their whole life differently, and it allows them to release all the negative emotions and limiting loops of thought that have happened that have kept them sort of constrained along the way.
Ooh, God, I love that explanation. I love it. Because one of my coaches always said, especially if we are activated or dysregulated or where we're kind of in this, trauma loop, is that are you with the trauma? Are you in it, with it or in it? And I love, is basically, what you just said, is that you see it from a different perspective. like a whole and present perspective. And, you know, a lot of things change when you can actually like hold the hand of that part of you or whatever, and instead of being in it and dysregulated. That's awesome. Tell me about, so we talked a little bit about NLP and hypnosis, and you talked a little bit about how it helps heal and process trauma. Is there anything, so you use NLP and you use hypnosis. What is NLP? I don't know if I've had,
yeah, so
I know what it is, but I don't know if my audience does. So let's start there.
Sure. Yeah. So a lot of people might be wondering. So I've used that term so many times. Neuro-linguistic programming, neuro being the brain and the nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think when we think of neuro, they just think of the brain, but the brain and the nervous system are all connected. Linguistics, language, and programming are the programs we run in our mind. So we run programs in our mind all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the programs are inherited programs. They're not programs we're born with. They're inherited,
mm-hmm.
and they're learned.
Mm-hmm.
And so what neuro-linguistic programming allows for us to do is to use language, verbal and nonverbal, because verbal language is only 7% and nonverbal language is 93%. So we use language to help to retrain the brain, to help us release negative emotions, to help us to regulate ourselves, to help us to release beliefs that are no longer serving us,
mm-hmm.
and to help us to develop habits and model excellence in a way that helps us to produce results that we really want to produce. So we mm-hmm. let go of the old things that are not serving us, and we're able to create habits to move us more quickly towards our goals. And mm-hmm. that is the essence of a lot of what neuro-linguistic programming is. It contains language patterns, but it also contains tools and techniques.
Mm.
And it's based in, you know, it's based in linguistics. It's based in brain science. It's based in behavioral psychology. It's a lot of evidence-based techniques and tools that
okay.
are
okay. Got it. Okay, cool. Thanks for that definition. So you, in your practice, you use NLP and also hypnosis. Anything that we didn't touch on about why those two modalities are something that you like to use, or, you know, what's helpful about it when you're helping your people?
Yeah, I think what makes these particular tools very effective is they do kind of work at the unconscious level.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of the work that we're doing actively, the thinking about, the remembering, the trying, mm-hmm. the figuring out, the processing, that's all conscious mind work. And we can only do as much work as we're conscious of. But there is this level of work that's under the surface that we can't always access. And so when you work inside of neuro-linguistic programming, it allows you to integrate and move into the unconscious mind, so that the things that were sort of at the deepest parts of your experience that maybe you've locked away,
mm-hmm.
when your unconscious mind is ready to present them, can be represented for healing. So mm-hmm. that's a lot of the work that I do when I work one-on-one with clients, mm-hmm. but it's also what I teach when I teach coaches, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. also when I'm teaching in organizations, like, okay, you have to understand that everybody has their unconscious filters.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're communicating, not only are you communicating with the person consciously, but you're also communicating with them unconsciously, mm-hmm. and you never know what's going to get drugged
mm-hmm.
up.
Mm-hmm. And I want to put like a pin in a little, just a little nuance that you said, Dr. Myesha, which is these, you know, the tools are great, and what it helps us do is heal what you know, I'm going to paraphrase what you said, which is whatever's ready, whatever your unconscious is ready to present.
Mm-hmm.
That's very nuanced, but I think with, one of my biggest complaints about the personal development space is this idea of forcefully changing. You know, if we're not getting our results, then we have to force ourselves, or we have to make bad, or completely override, you know, everything about what's happening inside of us. There's this feeling and this idea that personal development is just all about change your thoughts, change your life, and, you know, like all these things. And I think just a little nuance that you said in there, I really just for some reason just want to put a pin in that, because I that's a value that I have in my practice as well. Yeah. Is if anyone inside of themselves forces themselves to heal or to hit a layer that you're not ready for, then it's just re-traumatizing what's happening inside of yourself. And so the expectation, at least for me, and we can talk about this too, is like when I help people, it's not about making something making something go away. It's mm-hmm. about being with, you know, and understanding what's happening inside of you. So I think it's very nuanced, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yes, and I'm just gonna say it now. I'm gonna need to have you on my podcast, because you just said a whole word. And what came up for me was there's a fair amount of gaslighting and harm that we do in the personal development industry, and I think that needs to be an entire conversation on its own. So I will be sending you a link.
Let's go.
And you, so that you can be on my podcast.
Let's go.
Because I think that is a conversation we definitely need to have.
Yeah.
And I say that because I also live in the world of anti-oppression work.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. there are some characteristics of oppressive culture, and that is one of them. This sort of forced change, more is better. And so, yeah, I agree 1,000% with what you said, is that when we try to force a person to do change before they're ready, or do that deep healing work before they're ready, we end up causing harm mm-hmm. and re-traumatizing them. And mm-hmm. and that's why understanding, we call them in NLP, the prime directives of the unconscious mind, which is basically the rules of the unconscious mind. And that's one of the big prime directives. Number one, the unconscious mind has the right to repress emotions for our protection. And they have the right to repress memories for our protection. That's why mm-hmm. sometimes people, while the unconscious mind holds memories, all of the memories in our bodies mm-hmm. and mind, mm-hmm. it will present them when a person is ready. And that's why you're driving down the street and suddenly a song comes on and you're like, oh man, I didn't remember that before.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or when people call me and they say, I'm ready. And they say, well, how do I know that I'm going to heal? And I say, because you're calling me, your unconscious mind has already, it's primed you for this healing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're in that state of unconscious incompetence, meaning you don't know what you don't know, then it's not time to dig in there and try to find that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so I agree 1,000%.
Mm-hmm.
There's a word I like to use called bypassing. Mm-hmm. And you know that word, I'm sure, very well.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be so careful in this healing space, in this personal transformation, personal development. And I have personally experienced that harm.
Same. I have as well. I have as well. And it is, thank you for talking about it. One of my biggest values is to talk about the things that people don't talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that that's talked about enough, is the gaslighting and the bypassing. And I think what the worst part about it, I think, is that it's on the outside first, and then we internalize it. And then what, you know, and we start to do like self-gaslighting and, you know, and all that stuff, self-abandonment, all the things inside of ourselves. And I think that's the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to close up our time together. What is there anything that you know, that we missed as far as what's important to you, anything on your heart or your body or your brain that you want to express?
I think that this was just such a wonderful conversation. I feel complete in the conversation. I am very much looking forward to more of this conversation with you, because I do think we hit on a whole other topic.
Another vein. Yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. But what I'll leave the audience with is being compassionate with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And like we said earlier, understanding that it's okay to not be ready.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not okay to be complacent.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So there's a very fine line.
Very.
Right. If you understand that there's work to be done, and you understand that you're harming folks with, you know, from your trauma, then it takes courage to reach out and to begin to do that work.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to walk the line between I'm not ready and using I'm not ready as a crutch
mm-hmm.
to not be brave and courageous to do the
mm-hmm.
work.
It is courageous. It's one mm-hmm. of the courageous things I think that anyone can do.
Right.
is because, you know, I think bravery is focused for me, like bravery is focused on the outside about, you know, others, but courage really comes from inside of ourselves for sure.
That's right.
I agree.
And also for people to know they're not alone.
Yeah.
I think that's, if you know you're not alone in this world, in this experience, and also in this work, and you surround yourself with community and you find the right person to work with, and that right person could be, you know, like I'm very adamant that you have to connect personally with the person. Like I'm not for everyone. And when I talk to people and I feel like, you know what, there may be someone better for you, or someone who connects more, I'm very honest about that. And I let people interview me because I think that it's also important that they feel connected to me. And I say that upfront as well. So when you're looking for your person who's going to assist and guide you to that healing, connect with them, ask them questions.
Yeah. Absolutely. Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Maisha. Can you tell us where we can find you, what you have going on? Like I said, this is set to release sometime in March. So anything going on in March that we need to know about?
Sure. So if you want to, first of all, hear more about the work that I do, you can listen to my podcast, The Black Mind Garden. And it's a lot, it's where I talk a lot about communication and and psychological safety and a lot of what we've talked about. And then if you want to learn more about my work, whether you want to learn more about the NLP trainings that I do, or whether you want to learn more about the corporate work that I do a lot of corporate speaking around psychological safety and trauma-informed communication, mindremappingacademy.com, mindremappingacademy.com. And finally, you could just connect with me on social media. I am on all the platforms except for Twitter and Snapchat. And all you have to do is put a / Dr. Maisha. And I'm sure you'll have that information for your audience.
I will. Well, thank you so much for dropping in with me today. It was a wonderful conversation. I really appreciate you.
Thank you so much, Lily. I look forward to more.
My pleasure. I really, really love this conversation with Dr. Maisha. It's so, what I love about what I do here is that I really get to talk to people. You know, we talk a lot about trauma, but we also get other people's experiences with trauma. We also get their view of trauma, their view of how they help people with their trauma, and also how they have healed their trauma. That's probably one of my favorite things about this, is because I think what people don't talk about with trauma is that it's really, really based on your subjective and your particular experience. So having the ability and the platform to connect with amazing leaders like Dr. Maisha is really what this is all about. So I really, really hope you enjoyed this conversation. I wanted to remind you of a few things. If you feel like supporting the show, I would really, really welcome the support. There are three different options that you can support the show with. If you go to the link in the show notes and click on support, you'll notice there's a 99 cent option per month, $4.99 and $9.99. If you have been listening to the show for a long time, or if you're just a new listener here and you believe in energy exchange, that would really help me with the energy I put towards the show, the great guests that I bring on, production costs, and also I love coffee. So if you feel like buying me a coffee in that way, and you can cancel anytime, I would absolutely welcome that. Don't forget to take the Feminine Dating Archetype quiz. It reveals your blocks to love and helps you find your true love match. If you are a woman seeking a dream partner without the drama, that is going to be a great resource for you. Lastly, if you are in the realm of wanting to up-level in your dating and relationship life, if you are done with these BS patterns that you're seeing, these different types of bad people that you're attracting in your relationship, if you're ready to have more self-trust, listen to your intuition so you can actually call in your dream partner and your friends and your family, and maybe even your therapist who really isn't doing it for you, my invitation for you is to set up a complimentary love audit with the link in the show notes, and that you and I will get together, or someone from my team will get together to see if we might be able to help you, what you're looking to do, what you're looking to heal, what you're looking to accomplish.
The good thing is that my programs range from $47 to $3,000 a month. So if we can help you, we will let you know. And there's absolutely something out there for you. I want you to heal. I want you to uplevel. I want you to become the best person that you can be. And that includes in dating and relationship. I know you have a lot, and it's possible for you to have it all. Don't forget that you are loved and you are supported. You are not alone in this journey. I'm really, really proud of you. And don't forget just to keep going. Don't give up on yourself. I love you. See you next time.